Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFORadio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Glenn, and Glenn's been having extreme paranormal encounters for the last 20 years, and some of them have been absolutely very, very serious. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Cade.
It's great to have you on, mate, because your encounters have been incredible. Some of them have been life-threatening, and that's something that we've never really touched on with this podcast before. So I want to thank you for coming on the show to share something that is so, so personal. Are you able to go back to the start of your encounters and walk us through them?
Yeah, all right. Thanks for having me on. It first peaked in about 2000, when my youngest daughter was born. We were living in a house, and it was pretty quiet there for many years. And then just one day I went to an antique fair, and I bought an antique, brought it back to the house, and basically hell just broke loose. We have had a little bit of disturbances and stuff leading up into the years before that. It all started. We had scratching in the walls of electrical disturbances. We had children's toys going off in the middle of the night. They just randomly go off. And my son, who was five at the time, he was in his room. He used to try to sleep. And the door used to close, slam shut constantly. And I'd quickly run up, open the door, check on him, he'd be fast asleep. And as soon as my back was turned, it'd slam again. And this went on for weeks. It got to the stage they actually put heavy objects against the walls, against the door. And sure enough, turned my back once again, the door was just slammed shut again. We ended up sending him to a friend's house, and yeah, it continued again. From then we had our dog and cat in the house, and they'd just start growling, and things we couldn't see going off. They were really going off. And we thought it was a bit odd. Then not long after that, we heard sounds of gunshots and screaming and children giggling in all hours of the night. It used to wake me up from a sleep, and it used to get so bad that I used to shout out, you know, come on, you've got to knock it off, I'm trying to sleep, and it would just go dead quiet. And this continued right up to the point we moved out. We had children's handprints started appearing on the ceiling. And it was the first time some sort of bad entity appeared. When you're asleep, it used to blow cold air in your face. It'd be stinking hot summer nights and you'd be shivering and you'd just be paralysed and feel the cold air blowing in your face and you couldn't move.
Could you see this entity in there?
No, I've never ever seen it. Never ever seen it. It continued for many years, this entity, and also started affecting other members of the house as well. Also, there was a large white orb. It was the first time I've ever seen it. A lot of people think of orbs of, you see in the photos. I can tell you now they're nothing like that at all. The orb that came into the house the first time I seen it, it was the size of a football. It burnt so bright that it actually hurt your eyes. If you shut your eyes, it was so intensely white and bright. And then one night it just came into the room and exploded just in bright white.
What do you mean? It just came into the room and it exploded and filled the room with light.
Yeah, intense bright light till the point it felt like welding flash in the morning. Like you weld without goggles. My eyes were so red and sore, it wasn't funny.
It had a physical effect on you, did it?
Yes. It actually made my eyes were sore for days afterwards. It was so intensely bright. It was the first time we've seen it. We've seen it twice since then. It's in other houses as well. But the only way I can describe it is it'd be an orb's more like ball lightning. I don't know whether this is ball lightning or an orb, I can't tell you, but it seemed to be able to navigate through the house, like through doorways, and know what it was doing, act with some sort of intelligence.
So it has some sentience to it, really?
Yes. Years later, when we've seen it once again, I've seen it again, and my eldest daughter and her friend seen it one night as well, in a different house. We're talking about 8 years later, it reappeared again.
And do you think it was exactly the same ball of light, or do you think this is maybe something completely different?
I've always been of the opinion it's probably the same ball of light, yes. I just don't know. I really don't know. One thing I would explain about myself is I'm a skeptical believer. No matter what I've seen and been through, I still have trouble believing it, and I've lived through it, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely does. I think you have to be a skeptical believer because it's so easy to fall into the trap of believing everything, and then it's really hard to decipher what's real and what's not.
Exactly right. And this went on in the house right up to the point when we moved out. This was also the first time an old lady, my daughter, would wake up in the middle of the night screaming. She was about, I think, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5. I don't remember my oldest daughter what age she was. And she'd wake up screaming, complaining of an old lady in her room, constantly complaining of this old lady. At that point, I don't recall seeing her, but yeah, later on we did see an old lady quite regularly in the last few years up to what happened.
So this old lady would just show up in the house, or was this something that would just show up anywhere?
At this point, it was only in my daughter's room. It was only show up in her room, and she's only one who really seen it. And I think possibly my youngest daughter seen it at that stage too. But she was very, very young at that stage.
Oh, wow. That's terribly terrifying, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, strangely, because this went on for such a long time in that house, if you live in an active house, you strangely get used to it. You get very used to it. It becomes normal, except for the sleep paralysis or whatever the bad entity was. And after a while, we discovered when the bad entity was around, none of the others were around. There were young children in the house we see giggling, playing with the toys, etc. But as soon as the bad entity used to come out, everything else would go quiet. Like this one entity or whatever it was, it seemed like it controlled everything else in the house.
So you're saying that you had multiple entities living within that house with you and your family?
Yeah. Well, it, what we later discovered, separate ghost hunting groups and all that, they come back with the same result. It's been about five ghosts, one demon, one angel. They always come back with that. These are separate, independent ghost groups who don't know each other, don't know me, always come back with that result. And the big question has always been, I've always asked, and no one can answer me, have we got one bad thing pretending to be all these other things, or do we really have five ghosts and, yeah, one demon, one angel? I just don't know.
It's a terrifying thought just to have so many people come in there and kind of validate the fact that you do have all these different entities in that house. What yeah, goes through yeah, your head when you get told this over and over and over by all these different investigators?
I just don't know what to believe. You just get to the stage, you just don't know what to believe. It sort of validates what you know, but you don't sort of want to admit to it. Don't get me wrong, some of these spirits or whatever this is are quite friendly and helpful at times. They'll open doors for you. Yeah, they'll, you know, you'll be walking up to a locked door and they'll just open for you and let you in and stuff like that. They actually can be quite helpful for you, to you at times. I don't know at this stage. I still have trouble trying to understand what happened and what's going on with these spirits and entities. I just don't know.
So with some of these being what you're saying are good entities and some of them being bad, what's some of the bad stuff that these entities have brought into your house?
Well, we've had the bad smells. Well, we move on, like, later on down the track, we had, we're getting ahead of ourselves. The first sign of this thing being back was a plague of flies for probably over a year. It was just flies, bad smells. We've had pet animals mutilated, come out fine and they're healthy, and the next minute they're ripped apart. And no apparent cause for it. There's nightmares, and stuff like that. It's just stuff like that. It's hard to describe it all. They can do some terrible stuff at times. In the next when it really peaked again 7 years later, that's when this thing got really bad. It's when all the bad stuff happened.
So, have you done much research into what might be causing these things? Because in my travels, I've learned that if there's a bad smell around, and it's usually kind of like the smell of a sulfur or sulfuric acid, yeah, things like that.
Yep.
It's a lot of people do connect that to demonic actions or demonic activity.
Yes.
And the whole fly swarming your house, that's it's definitely not like it's a normal thing. That normally just doesn't happen. That's a really unique thing.
It got so bad here, I try to get ghost groups in. Some of them are better than others. I go into that. A lot of them. I even approached a Catholic priest once in a church. I showed him videos, the ones I sent you, some of those. And this bloke went white as a ghost. He ran out of the room and came back and blessed my computer and all the rest of it. He was convinced that it was demonic. And a lot of people won't touch this haunting with a 10-foot pole. They just don't want to know about it. They've even said to me, we don't do demonic stuff, and what you all got's demonic.
So have you felt helpless in this whole situation because of that?
Frustrated more than anything. Because I've got ghost groups who have just absolutely criticised me and all the rest because they go, do you want me to remove it? And I actually say to them, no, I want you to document it. I want you to identify it. Because they just want to come around here, wave a bit of sage around the place and just leave it at that. But they don't understand. I've accidentally provoked this thing before. When you piss it off, sorry, but when you annoy it, it will react and take it out on us. And that's why I can't explain to them. It's not a straightforward haunting. It's nowhere near it. So yeah, just mainly frustrated with them and sort of a bit helpless. I've even contacted people in the States, and they seem to think, oh yeah, we can do it. You know, you give me $100, and we can clear your house from over there using the internet or something. And I'm just like, I've been trying to find someone who deals in it and will come here on the ground and do it, sort of thing, ground zero. But
have you found that this thing has followed you to other houses, or is it purely only within this one location?
No, it's followed us to roughly 7 houses now.
Wow.
It's always with us. Before, when I get into the rest of the story, I've never ever touched a Ouija board in my entire life. And people often go, well, you must use the Ouija board to cause the haunting. All I can say about that, using Ouija boards is a load of crap about being haunted. We've had this happen to us, and I've never ever touched one before that. So when I get into the rest of the story, we got desperate. We thought, well, we've got nothing to lose, so we're going to ask it directly for answers. And yeah, we did get some answers out of it.
So you said this all started because you bought an antique.
Yes.
So what was the item that you bought that was potentially haunted that led to this happening?
It was an antique black powder rifle. You're legally allowed to own them up here. Back in those days, I don't even have it now.
So you've removed the item from your house and you're still being haunted?
Yes, but the thing is, we had activity before that. All the items we own now, past this point, we barely have anything left from that time at all. We've updated our furniture, just whole household. There's barely anything left from that house that we have to this day.
So something's attached itself to you and your family?
Yeah, possibly to me at a very young age. I grew up on 4,000 acres, so I used to stay in a lot of old farmhouses. One outside Tomlingley, New South Wales, was actually a murder committed there. My mother used to leave me there alone, terrified in that house as a child, while they went to the other farmhouse to sleep. I absolutely hated that house. It could come from anywhere. I have memories of talking to these things when I was 3 years old. Two men used to appear, so I'd be in my cot. And I'd be talking to them. My mum would come into the room and she'd go, who are you talking to? And I used to say, the men, she could never see them. So it's could have come from anywhere, this thing. But, yeah.
So do you mind going into some of the more recent stuff that's been happening? You said...
Yeah, so after a while, we moved out of that house. We had to leave that house. And after we moved, I was over there cleaning the house, and a neighbour said to me, "Said, do you know there was a suicide in that house?" I said, "No." And she said, "Yeah, a bloke, because we see the gunshots in the night, they're loud like shotguns." And she said, yeah, it happened a few years ago. A man killed his wife and two children in the house. And I looked at her and I thought, that's odd. I've tried researching it since then. I can find no trace of it mentioned anywhere, so I don't know how true it was. But it was just a random neighbour that told us that. Oops, I just broke the drops on. So I honestly don't know if there's any validity to that story or not. I just don't know. But that's what we were told.
And if that was a residual haunting in that house and it was replaying those dreadful moments, that really makes a lot of sense to the gunshot sounds and the screaming that you were hearing.
Yeah, but unfortunately, if it's residue, when I told it'd be quiet and the kids were smart enough to turn the toys on and play with them. I also got, I forgot to mention, I was sitting in front of the lounge of that house one night and I got a cold shiver down my back and my shirt off. I had three long scratch marks down my back. This was before we had mobile phones and all the rest of the gear we got now, so I couldn't photograph it. And it stayed there for about 20 minutes and it just vanished. The scratches ran from my shoulder right down to my tailbone, down my back. It was just dead out of nowhere. And that was at that house as well. I forgot to mention that. It's been such a long time ago.
And is that the only time that you've been physically affected by the entities in your life?
No, I've been pinched, slapped, scratched. handprint across my chest. Twice it's done the handprint across my chest. And the second time I got up, seen the handprint, and I'm like, I'm just going to refuse, absolutely refuse to even acknowledge you've done that. You know, I'm just absolutely over this thing. So I didn't even photograph that one and just went on my way and, done my thing. I just got to the stage, I'm just so over this thing. You just get that way at times.
I don't know how anyone would react to that, to waking up with scratch marks and slap marks, even just being slapped by this thing. That would be terrifying.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even feel the slaps. You'll just see the big red mark across your chest. That one picture I sent you, the handprint, it lasted for 3 days and burnt like severe sunburn. I didn't even feel when that happened. The pinch I well and truly fell. It was quite painful, quite nasty. But you just get to a point where you get used to it, and then after a while you get sick of it, sort of thing. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I can imagine you just kind of you're on your it really get on your nerves essentially.
Yeah, basically, it does it. It's part of its way of trying to wear you down. But anyway, back to the story. We moved to another house and the old lady kept appearing to my eldest daughter. She'd wake up in the night screaming her head off and all the rest of it. But otherwise, we had no activity there whatsoever. And then we moved to another house after that. Once again, the older houses got kept in cellars. And we started seeing shadow people, handprints on the ceiling. Old lady started appearing to my oldest daughter again, scratching in the walls. We had a mirror that kept falling off double hooks, and a creepy doll which kept causing nightmares for my daughters. And basically, you'd be woke up from screams in the middle of the night constantly. But that's about as full on as it's got. When I'm talking about this activity, we're usually talking about maybe 5 or 6 events in a day. That'd be a quiet day. Only, something happened 5 or 6 times a day.
And that's a quiet day.
That was a quiet day for us, yeah.
Wow.
And around about the time we moved, I developed symptoms of bowel cancer. I had the whole lot, the bleeding, the weight loss, everything. I was going to specialists in and out, left, right, and centre. The doctors were convinced I had bowel cancer and all the rest. I was tested till I was like blue in the face. And they couldn't find no cause for my sickness. And after a while, it went away after having it from, I think I had it for about 4 or 5 months, and it went away, just vanished as quickly as it came on.
All the symptoms and everything?
Yep. Every symptom you can imagine I had, every single symptom of bowel cancer. The doctors were convinced I had bowel cancer.
And then it all just disappears instantly.
Yes. Yep. Disappeared again. Just vanished. To this day, they don't know what happened. They just don't know.
And your health has improved? It hasn't declined or anything like that?
No. Once again, I had another mystery. About 5 years later, another mystery illness. I'm a migraine sufferer, so an average migraine lasts for about 3 days. I had one that it's got them stumped. It lasted 12 weeks straight. I was vomiting every day, dizzy in the head, walking through the walls. They were convinced I had a brain tumour.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I had rapid weight loss. Yeah, all the symptoms that went along with that. I had CT scans, everything. They were convinced I was going to see the year out.
Oh, wow. And so it was pretty full on.
Once again, it just finished. The most interesting thing was they stuck me in an MRI machine and it started shaking violently. It nearly ripped itself off the hinge, off the diner bolts, off the floor. I remember looking at the operator, he just went white as a ghost and he just hit the emergency shutdown button. He was just really shaking. This is why they had me in the machine. It just went absolute ballistic. This is just at the local hospital. And I said to him, I said, what happened? He just looked at me and he was really stirred up. And he said, oh, that just happens sometimes. And the next minute he said, you can go now. They cut the scan short by about 10 minutes or something, looking for this brain tumour. And he said, you can go now. Next minute he's rushing out of the room and he's getting people to come in there. And I to this day, I don't know what happened in there. But, another thing that happened as well. It happened as well. Another thing about this thing as well, it's not confined to the house by a long shot. We've had figures appear in the cars while we've been driving. That one, later on in the story, one nearly made me crash. One appeared beside me. My son used to have it in his car as well. We'd be driving along, black figures appear in your car, and I'd just be there, and it'd scare the crap out of you. I was down at a shopping centre one day. I walked up to a window, and everything in the window just fell off the shelves. I went, what the hell? I got really embarrassed, so I took off. So I walked down a bit further down the mall, stopped at another window. Same thing happened. Everything just kept falling off the shelves as I walked up to the window. So I got out of there. My daughter, seen her sister there one day in the shopping centre. This is years later. And she's singing out to her sister through the crowd. She's singing out to her, trying to catch up to her, and the sister just kept walking right in here. And as she tried to catch up to her, her sister walked around the corner. And as soon as that happened, her real sister walked straight around and said, I'm here. Why are you calling out to me? She said, I was just chasing through the shopping center. And she said, I've just got here. I've just walked in through the doors.
Oh, you're kidding. Yeah. So something's mimicking your family.
Yes. There's another good example of that later on. Yeah. So after this house, everything started going crazy. We had to move to another house again. And this is where things get interesting. We were in this house for about 10 years. And for about 7-odd years, nothing happened at all. It was quiet. And one day I went and bought Luca. He's a 4-foot jester. And with an old antique chair, he put him on there. We bought him off an old bloke whose wife used to collect dolls. She'd passed on, and none of his adult children wanted him. He had him for sale for $70. They paid for over $1,000 for him. And when we went up to see him, he was practically going to give it to us for free because he just wanted him to have a good home. But we just paid him what he was asking for and took him home. After we brought Luca home, things started happening in the house again. And it wasn't about a year later, I realised the day I brought him home, the first day was the day he actually moved, first moved his head. I was looking at an old photo and then I seen the date on it and realised it was the day I brought him home.
So do you think bringing him into your house has increased that activity?
No, I don't think so. I don't know I'm really, to this day, I'm puzzled. I don't know if Luca was haunted before he came to the house or after he's come to the house. I don't really know. It's a bit of a loss about what's happened there. To this day, I don't know. As for Luca being bad, the jury's out on that. Animals absolutely love him. I've walked in and found a cat giving him bear hugs, smooching to his face. Our dogs, you know, when they were pups and all that, they used to sit at his feet. Animals absolutely love him. It was a struggle to keep animals away from him at times because they love him so much.
It definitely seems to get a bit of a mixed reaction from your family.
Yeah, I don't know to this day. We've still got him here. He's here right now. There's no point in getting rid of him. At the end of the day, he's a vessel. You know, it's a bit like taking a car away from a bad driver when there's 10 other cars parked in the garage. You know what I mean?
It's just
a waste of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so this is when the scratching in the wall started, and then not long after that, we started to have the fly plague. There were flies. They were so thick. Every day there were flies. We used to have to buy 3 cans of fly spray practically every 2 days just to spray them, and it had a little effect on them.
So the flies returned?
Yeah, no, this is when the flies first started in this house.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yep. They were safe. They were sick. They were just everywhere. We could not get rid of them. We tried everything, absolutely everything. They were so bad they stained the ceiling. They just sprayed with blood or whatever they do up there. They stained it. I used to have to get up there and scrub it. It used to take me hours with a woolly washer and just scrub the ceiling clean. And it was just a waste of time. It really was.
It's so unique and it's so odd. I mean, the only other time I've ever heard something like this. And it's from a Hollywood movie. It's from the Amityville horror. And that's the only other time I've ever heard of something like this. It's incredibly creepy and just insanely weird.
Yeah, it was. It was. I've seen those movies before and I've sort of gone, I've haunted dolls and stuff. I'm going, yeah, the movie's sort of right, but this is not the way it works in real life, especially when I get up the bit about the possible possession, you know.
So is that something that you want to touch on?
The possession?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you about what I've seen in the hospital and, yeah, I'm on point for all that. Because at the end of the day, if someone else is going through this, they can learn by my mistakes or know what to do. in this house, we started getting scratching on the walls. It got really, really bad. One of the walls we used to have scratching in, we had a busted pipe in there, so the landlord had to cut the wall open, and I tell you what, there was nothing in there at all. It was nothing that could be making that noise. Nothing could get in there, but it was everywhere, in the ceilings, in the walls. I used to bash on the walls and tell it to shut up, and it would either go quiet for a few seconds and start again, or it just continue going. It was non-stop scratching in the walls. The bad smell started everywhere. You'd just be sitting there and it just smells like someone's just done a fart on you, and you'd be choking on the fumes of it basically, and then it would just finish in the thin air. Then we started seeing the apparitions. The old lady first appeared. There was an old man. We had the children back in the house running around playing dolls and stuff. I've got videos up on YouTube, you can see the AF and me. I've even recorded the kids. I've even got video of that, recorded the kids' voices in the house. The house we were living in at the time, it was a very large block. We had old neighbours behind us and no kids, and bushland on behind us, and there was large gaps between the houses. It was the first thing I ruled out, you know. Had the black mass first appeared, the one that hovers above me when I'm asleep. The white orb came back again. My daughter and her friend were staying, actually sleeping over one night, and they went out kitchen to get something to eat, and they seen the orb float through the house. Once again, they described it like exactly what I've seen years earlier. It was intelligent and knew where the doors were, basically, and
who could navigate the house, the size of a football, and very blinding. And they absolutely, got scared and ran into the room and locked the door. I seen it again, once again in that house, same thing, middle of the night, and it came in the room, done the same things before, exploded and just blinded me again and hurt my eyes, basically. I've had people suggest that this might be one of the good guys. Because white light's supposed to be very healing. Trying to fight off the more evil presence.
Do you think there is a battle going on for your family between these spirits?
It's a good possibility. It definitely seems that way. It seems that way because all the ghost groups I've ever had in also get the name Michael. It comes up on the spirit box constantly. And they said that's Archangel Michael. That's what they think that refers to. I'm at a loss. After everything's happened, I very well could be what happened with that. So I don't know, getting back to the story, I've got antique clocks. They used to turn themselves on and off. They'll wind up and they'll just start out of blue. Luke has actually got a favourite clock. It used to always start ticking and just go by itself. People have told me they've seen an old lady go into that clock. Into the clock, yeah. The clock was made in 1800s. I've got details. I bought it online from America, and it's from the time of the American Civil War when it was made.
So do you think that spirit's attached to that clock?
A good possibility. I think she's only a residue attached to that clock, that particular one. Yeah. Around about this time also, Lucas started moving more and more. We had the rest of the stuff, the handprints on the ceiling, faces being busted, children playing, sheets and blankets being ripped off us in the middle of the night. And there was a hooded figure. Now that was an interesting one. The sleep paralysis, all the classic, basic poltergeist stuff. Plus we had intelligent, plus we had residue, plus we had demonic. Now the hooded figure, that's an interesting one. At this point, I've been to the doctor, and I said I'm going nuts. Can you check me out? I said I've got schizophrenia. I'm seeing and hearing shit. So I got checked out and said, no, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. So, yeah, that's how bad I started questioning my sanity at this point of time. The hooded figure. I was out working on the car one day, daylight, had my head under the engine bay, and I look out, and there's this hooded figure standing a couple of feet away from me next to the house with its head bowed, couldn't see its face, and with its arms interlocked. So you can't see its hands, basically. Sort of like the Grim Reaper, but you don't really see anything. And then later on that day, it appeared and just disappeared. I didn't see it again. Later on that day, I was looking at the back in the bushland, and I had a garden up there. I was just looking at, the pumpkins and all the rest of the tomatoes, and I look up under the tree. Here it was again, standing. But I couldn't see any features. Then after that point, nine people I know died.
What do you mean?
Person died once every 2 months. The only thing they had in common was they knew me. One was murdered, the rest were for sickness.
Really?
Some were perfectly healthy. Yeah, some were perfectly healthy. Some were sick. Some, one was murdered. You can Google that. Just Google. So Delaney's Creek, Bruce Monaghan, Delaney's Creek, and murdered. He was a very good friend of mine. Yeah, so we had a cluster death, and I asked I basically clustered this. I asked many people, have you ever been through it? And no one could really tell me.
Do you think that has something to do with the negative spirits attached to you?
I don't know. I know the hooded figure is I don't know where it fits in the relation. In the middle of everything, I wouldn't have a clue.
And have you ever seen the hooded figure again, or is that kind of just a one off thing?
I only ever seen him those two times, had the cluster death, and that's it. Never seen it again.
It seems like it's an omen or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I took it as. I've never seen it again. Back to this house now. We started getting weird phone calls, very statically, strange voices on the phone constantly when we're out or in the house. If I even mentioned the name Luca or what was going on, the phone would just automatically drop out straight away. If it drops out now, it's probably going to be why. It happened when I was at the hospital as well. The phone would cut out. We'd hear a really bad growl and the phone would cut out. I had people come around to the house to investigate it once again. And they got growled out. The growling was coming from nowhere. They couldn't find the source of the growling. We had the screaming voices again. The bad ending was back where the snores quite spoke. Basically, the sleep paralysis. We'd get up in the morning and all our ornaments would be turned back to front and our pictures would be all crooked on the walls constantly. Every morning we'd have to get up and straighten everything up because it would just all be tampered with from the night before. And Luca started really moving at this stage. We're not talking about little moves. We're talking about big moves. I set up cameras to try and catch him in the act. I went through six lots of cameras malfunctioned. All the cameras would just be moved to the side, pointed away from him, and also lost two brand new iPad and a brand new computer malfunctioned. And a lot of that stuff had a lot of captures stored on it. It was gone for good.
Did you ever see him move in person?
Yes, only once ever after everything had happened.
Really?
Yeah. What happened was my wife, she was cleaning him, sat him down. For some reason, we did not know why to this day he fell, shoved his face. So I had to piece him back together again. And I was touching the paint up on his face, holding him. And I was just blow drying a bit of paint. And he was looking straight ahead and he just turned his head and looked straight at me.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. Because normally we line his chin up with the seam on his shirt and he just turned his head right in front of me and I've just gone, I said to the family, they were nearby, I said, are you seeing this? And they said, seeing what? I said, he just moved. And I said to him, is his head turned? Am I seeing shit? And they said, no, you're not seeing it at all. He turned his head and looked straight at me. That's the one and only time that I've ever seen him move, and I'm not talking about a little move. It wasn't slight, it was one complete move. Because I've always been trying to work out how he moves. Is he moving like a couple of millimeters every couple of hours, or is it just one big turn? It's one big turn. That's how he does it.
And how's that make you feel?
It felt crazy. I felt like I was going mad at the time, but it's all in one way. It's going. I don't feel so crazy because I've actually seen it firsthand. My frustration is I can't. I've never been. I've caught him moving on camera. I've got it on camera, but it's only so slight. I haven't been able to catch him on camera doing such a dramatic move. He just won't do it because, like I said, the cameras. I've had cameras set up on him before. If they don't malfunction, they just get turned away from him. You can actually. I used to have it stored. I don't know if I've got it where the cameras you'll see him physically be turned away from him just before he moves. We tried everything we can. Like, I ruled out absolutely everything I could. Other things making him move. I It got to the stage, as he went on, he got more and more bolder. He'd literally move, like we had to check him every about half an hour, make sure he hasn't moved. He'd literally move, turn your back, or walk past him, and he'd turn his head. Even if you're in the same room as him, he'd turn his head. As long as you weren't looking at him, he'd turn his head. I remember one morning I got up, and he had moved his head pretty dramatically. I used to photograph it. I've got all the pictures of it. And I was on my computer, and I was sat down and going, no, I'm not going to photograph you just yet. I just have to do something on the computer. By the time I finished typing on the computer and looked up, he was basically, he moved back to where he was again.
That's insane. It sounds truly terrifying with everything that you've got going on in that house. And of course, I mean, we're really only scratching the surface to what's been happening in your life, especially around these paranormal encounters, Glenn.
Yeah. This is only the tip of the iceberg. Like, if I was to rattle off every single thing that we've seen, we'd be here all day. I'd have to sit down with you. You'd have to go through every message, everything I've written, because there's just things I've forgotten about. It's 4 years ago, and we just want to put this behind us, even though we've still got the haunting now, but it's only sporadic. This thing goes around in 7 years loose cycles. That's the weakest point now. So that's in the next few years that possibly might pick up again. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very intense. I mean, some of the stuff that you've told me, we can't air it because it's probably a little bit too much. And it's enough to really keep you awake at night. That's the simplest way that I can put it. Glenn, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your encounters, your life story, essentially, with us. It definitely does sound like you've got multiple things attached to you. I mean, there's absolutely no denying that. One of my final questions for you, Glenn, is what do you think they are? Do you think it's something paranormal? Do you think it's something demonic? Do you think it may be something completely different?
I think it's demonic and paranormal. We haven't even got to the good parts yet. With what's happened, I think it's demonic. Have we still got time to go into all that?
If you're okay with that, we'll get you on again to go into the whole possession side of things.
Possession side of things. There's another case of a double ganger. That's probably the most trivial thing that's ever happened to me. The other double ganger experience I had in the house. That was the thing that took the cake for me.
Well, what we'll do, we'll definitely do a part one, part two.
Yeah, right.
Because
that's all good.
I don't want to rush you at all.
It's all documented. One thing I done when Lucas started moving, I posted on a page and it just got so intense and interest. I just made his own page and I just documented on there as a diary, and people wanted to come and have a look at it and I just go for it. And stuff like that, and I've kept all the screenshots from the rest of the story when the possession started. I've got screenshots of all the messages. I've got so much stuff. It's dates, times, yeah.
Well, mate, what we'll do is we'll definitely get you on for a part two, because there's so much more to unravel in this. But again, I do want to thank you for coming on the podcast tonight, because it's been. This is a really, really intense set of events, and I think part two is really going to open a lot of people's eyes as to what's going on.
Yes, I've got to warn people too, not to make the mistake I made, which could have caused all this. I've got to go into that, the mistake I made, but I sort of feel partly responsible, but then again, it might have happened anyway, but I'll go into all that as well.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFOradio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.